list.
Oh, fuck yourself.
Fuck off, Kiva.
Never liked you anyway.
Chicken roll and a bag of potatoes.
Go fuck
Do you know
off.
What? I hope that chicken gives you an awful dose of a squits. Knowing full well that me nor Savannah can get it.
Because we don't fucking live in Ireland or the UK.
While I drink tea made out of berries and Irish milk.
Yeah, well, I might not have the Irish milk, but I've got a decent fucking cup of Lion's Gold blend going on here, so...
Oh, well, you fucking lost already, haven't you?
Haven't really, because I actually prefer Lion's over Barry's.
Barry's Gold blend is superior, but you're lucky that it's Lion's Gold blend, because if it was just Lion's, I think I'd actually be sick of myself.
No, Christ, just regular Lion's is sick,
your
but
fucking PG tips shite.
No. I don't drink PG tips, Kira.
Well, what's
so
the English shit that you drink? Which is
what's
the one that
Tetley?
You drink?
And it's cute.
Tetley's. Oh, because that's better. Tetley's is actually worse, even though I do love your little Tetley's man.
Yeah, my little gnome man. Exactly. And he's adorable. And he
I used to love
to
the Tetley ads. The Tetley ads were always fucking great.
Yeah. The Tetley ads and the ones with the meerkats. What were they? The Go Compare was
Go
the
Compare
guy with the opera guy.
Yeah.
No.
No, sorry. Compare the meerkat. Compare the meerkat. Yeah. Compare the market.
Yeah, compare.
That's what the real one is. Comparethemarket.com.
Yeah, but I think Go Compare was also the guy with the mustache. Do you remember the opera singer?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
There was just
the mustache.
I thought they were separate companies.
I thought they were. I think they are. Yeah, it's Compare the Market and Go Compare. They're two things.
Compare the market.com.
The slogan of...
Yeah, it's compared the meerkat. No, it's not. It's compared the market, and it's compared the meerkat was the joke. I'm pretty sure they're separate companies.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Go Compare, because I remember them being in the same ad together at one point.
No. Were they?
Were they?
Yeah. Yeah. Unless I'm fucking making shit up. Unless that was just like that one of them bought the other company and then just like merged and had a crossover.
Anyway, mystery solved. They're separate fucking companies. Deep diving into insurance companies based on a conversation
little
about tea.
Little fucking Vladimir the meerkat, like.
Oh, and then what? Oh, Vinny the fucking panda as well for... Oh, what were they called? The biscuits. Biscuits.
Oh,
foxes?
Yeah.
Fox's biscuits. Vinny
foxes.
The fucking panda.
Oh, those Fox's biscuits are actually untouched. Like, they are a delicacy. Do you know
they
what I mean?
Really are. I will have no shit said about a Fox's biscuit. Like, Fox's biscuits, the way to go. They're, yeah. If you're in a country where you can get Fox's imported, I fully recommend it. If you can't, like, if you don't live in a Fox's country.
The chocolate on the
Fox's, they're the ones that are similar to Clubs, aren't they?
Ish, yeah. They're like the chocolate bit inside and the biscuit then outside it. The two biscuity bits. So it's kind of like a reverse Club bar then, isn't it?
Whoa,
there's multiple. Well, there's different foxes.
No, I'm talking shit. Yeah, no. I'm completely.
That's because
it's fine.
What fucking
track.
Foxes are you talking about?
The long ones.
Yeah, Savannah's talking shit.
No, excuse. Yeah, the Viennese. The Fox's Viennese fucking biscuits. Not talking shit at all. Go
what
fuck
the
yourself.
Fuck?
They're delicious.
Oh my God, okay, so
sorry.
You've just found some weird fucking off brand, or not off brand, but a fucking niche.
Sorry,
line
those
of
Vienna
the
ice
ways.
Cream cake things. Savannah, a Viennese Fox's chocolate is nothing like a fucking Club fucking sandwich. Are you having
it's a reverse Club sandwich. No, I thought you meant a Club bar, like reverse.
No, I said Club sandwich by accident. You know what I meant.
Oh, sorry. No, Lizzie, I thought...
Look at these chocolate. Fucking yolks. That's closer to a fucking Kimberly Mikado than it is to a fucking Club biscuit. Savannah, please.
Okay, I wasn't even
I can't
looking,
believe
so I don't
you,
know what
you
you're giving me shite about.
When
I
you
sent
think of
Fox's biscuits,
that's the one you think
of.
Do you not automatically think of the big kick-ass cookies with the chocolate chips?
No, I automatically think of the Viennese because they were my favourite ones.
Ew.
Ew, Savannah! My favourite ones out of Fox's were, you know, the wheels, the chocolate-covered wheels.
Yes, yes, sensational.
They were my favourite ones because I liked when they have, like, the thick chocolate on stuff.
Yeah.
They would be my favourite.
I've never heard of the fucking Viennese.
Go, I sent them into the group chat. Go have a look at them. They were always in Tesco.
Oh,
I'm
no.
surprised you never saw them.
I've never in my life.
Please. I'm actually scandalized
that
you said
so
they were like a Club bar.
Are they not? Like
I'm
the
actually,
reverse of it. Club chocolate.
No. Not absolutely not at all.
No.
A Club bar is like a Twix minus the caramel, kind of.
Oh, it is. Oh, I was... Yeah, no, I remembered it being more
Lads,
like a
what?
Fucking...
Oh, yeah.
What do you call it?
Yeah, chocolate in the middle, like thin slice.
Like a, not a snack, but what are the, what's the other one?
Purple snack. It's kind of like a purple snack.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I had the club bar wrong in my head anyways.
I'm going to say something.
Go on.
Snacks are overrated.
Take that fucking back. Take that fucking back, you dirty whore. Never, ever say that shit to my face.
Club bars are nicer than snacks.
I can't believe you just said that.
I don't know if I agree with that based on chocolate alone.
You dirty bitch. I cannot
believe. Based on chocolate alone, that you're getting into Cadbury's versus fucking English chocolate shite.
But it's important. Fair. And that therefore makes the club bar inferior to a fucking snack.
My issue with snacks is, first of all, the purple snack is obviously the best one. That's without a fucking doubt. That weird, the fucking cherry purple one that's like a wafer bar, burn it. Burn it.
Yeah,
the yellow snacks kind of one that are behind the bar, that's what I, which is what I associate snack bar being with.
The yellow snack,
fucking
yeah.
Should be illegal. Should be illegal.
Mine is always purple snack.
I think clubs and...
I do appreciate that the club is slightly chunkier. I do appreciate it, but I don't know if it's just like pure or undying loyalty to the snack bar, the purple snack, obviously.
As an Irish person.
Yeah.
There was the gold snack bar. That was like the gold bar, and they're actually quite tasty.
The gold?
Wait, yeah, was like, there not like a gold very club bar, which was like white chocolate or something like white chocolate?
Don't talk about white chocolate around me.
No, but it wasn't white. It was more like a Caramex. I'm only, you're after putting it back into my brain now. I'm after remembering something I forgot about.
Are you not thinking about, like the gold bar, and it was kind of like not white chocolate, but it was kind of like a caramel white chocolate.
Yeah. Which, who was that? Who made that?
I don't know. Is it McVitie's or some shit? But it was like, I think it was just called gold, or like the gold bar or some shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because literally my brain just remembered it as Quiva was talking. I used to love them when I was younger.
I hated them.
You hated them?
My nan always had them in the fridge, and I just like, they used to turn my stomach. I don't know why. I was like,
You're not much of a white chocolate person though, are you?
No, it makes me feel sick.
I am.
It's my fave, white chocolate till I die. Best day, fucking birthday in my life was my 16th birthday, getting a full white chocolate cake all to myself because I had no friends. Fucking fantastic.
All right, Liam Payne. What the fuck, you sad bitch. I love that. Oh, that's why I stopped having birthdays, because they were always shite.
Oh yeah, I don't celebrate my birthday anymore. I'm too lonely for that.
They're always disappointing. I always have like the worst day ever, and I'm always disappointed, and I'm like, nobody loves me, and it's really sad and miserable. And then I'm like, the following day, I'm like, that was so embarrassing. But my thing that I always hate is everyone always insists on doing a surprise fucking cake, and I hate it every time. And you can't be the sad bitch who's like, I fucking hated that, because they're trying to be nice. But I hate it every time. I'm like, okay, I've organized drinks and this is lovely and we're gonna have dinner, and then a fucking cake arrives and now you've tainted it, and now I really appreciate it because you really tried. Being nice, and I really appreciate the thought, but also read the room. I feel like it's up there. It is up there, and this is a bold statement to make, but it is up there with public proposals.
Fact.
I'm fucking giving shit. Publicly humiliating me and making my life a holy show. And also now every fucking pedophile in the room knows when I'm born. I didn't consent to this. It upsets me. I get fucking irate.
You were closer to 30 than you are 20, but you're still concerned about pedophiles.
They're a real worry. Them and quicksand. I'm like...
Pedophiles and quicksand. That's the name of quicksand. This episode.
As a child, I was like waiting for the day that I would encounter quicksand. Waiting for it. I was like, this is a real worry. Why is nobody addressing the quicksand issue?
Quiva, and fucking thank you.
Anya was a Bermuda Triangle hun. I was a quicksand girl. I was like, where the fuck? Why is nobody talking about quicksand? Why is it only the cartoons? I was like, Tom and Jerry just died in that fucking 5 times and nobody's talking about this.
But, like, I feel like we had an awful lot of training as kids on how to survive if you get stuck in quicksand. As if it would only be a major problem.
Nobody ever taught us. It was never a case of... I used to be, like, looking it up. I used to be like, how to survive if I fall into quicksand. Yeah, I had to go looking because I was really concerned. I was like, what's the best way to survive?
No, I was genuinely...
Answer, spoiler alert for anyone who doesn't know, is don't fight and lie on your back. Try to lie on your back. And try and like nearly swim across.
If you can get flat in the sand, then you can distribute your weight properly, and then you just wiggle like a worm. until you're out of the quicksand. Also, quicksand,
you know how it feels like, or they kind of portray it like it's a really quick process? Apparently it could take fucking days.
No, yeah, you were sinking for... it's horrendous. Because you can't get out. You're only up to the ankles, but you still can't get out. Like, fuck that. No, I just... I'd hope try snap my own neck. That, like
if I knew there's no way for me to get out.
Could you not dig it out? Like, could you, if you're only up to your ankles?
No,
like,
if you start digging in quicksand, it'll go down
suctions,
faster.
I think.
You'll sink faster. Yeah. You do not dig. You just, if you're only down to the ankles, your only bet is to throw yourself forward and hope that you can pull yourself along.
Forward? I told myself
that's our PSA about quicksand for the day.
No, Savannah's right though, because imagine getting stuck on your back like a fucking fly.
No, because then what? Your face forward. And then you're trying to lift your neck up for ages so you can breathe and not fucking suffocate.
But are you going to realistically, right? The three of us in this state right now, we get caught in quicksand. Have you got the fucking upper body strength to backstroke your way out of the fucking desert?
Absolutely. I don't have fucking front core strength and then neck strength to crane my neck up like a fucking turtle.
I think I'd survive way better than with a backstroke.
No, absolutely. No, I'm lying on my back all day.
Interesting. No, I'd die if I went on my back. That'd be the end of me. Like, I'd be turtled.
Right, I'll split the difference and I'll go sideways and then we'll see who gets out first.
What, Queeby? You lie sideways. I lie frontways. Lizzie goes backwards.
I think I'm gonna try digging myself out. I feel like I'm gonna go fuck it. I'm gonna ham hand it. I'm like, I'm getting myself the fuck out of this shit hole. Period.
Is this where we're like the last thing we'll ever see is the top of your fucking eyebrows? Like we're on a video call.
Yeah. And I wouldn't feel one bit bad about it. I'd be like, yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
It's the only logical solution.
At least they're on fleek.
But what about if you got, like, stuck? So, like, your hands tucked down into the sand. So you're kind of bent over. And then you're just stuck like that until you fall in sink.
Okay, and then what happens when you fall back onto your back and your fucking hair gets stuck in the sand and now you can't lift up and now you're just stuck
I would scalp myself off of my fucking scalp. Let me tell you now.
Yeah, but then your fucking bald head is going to get stuck extra. It's going to suction on so hard. Nah.
No, because what's going to be in place at that moment in time? My bedraggled hair. But once I lifted myself back, sure, I'm not going to fucking stick my scraggly hair to the sand anymore. Sure, it's going to be like my bald head is going to be the same as my arms. You know what I mean? Like, it's just skin. Probably slightly bloody. And
my feet are just skin, but apparently that's also impossible.
No, but Kate, I'm talking about the position that you're in. You can't scoop it out is the problem.
Whatever. I just don't believe it. I'm like, this is just bullshit. I don't believe it. If I survive bog holes and getting my willy stuck in mud, quicksand.
Right, I'm just going to say it now. Do you ever watch the videos of the boys getting stuck in quicksand and then they figuring it out? Do you not think if it was as simple as to just scoop it out and use their hands as big shovels.
You're saying, what, men, wait, this is crazy. Don't use the easy option. They make things more complicated for no reason. No, I've never heard of them doing that before.
Have you never heard of women trying out experiments as well? Wild. You think it's just a men's field and that women haven't tried it as well?
You said he
inwardly sexist?
We're all right in a way. So basically what you need to do, if you're caught in quicksand, you lie backwards first when you're sinking into it, but you do need to then pivot and flip over. Don't use your hands. You need to move your legs horizontally to free them. So you cannot dig yourself out. You have to slowly release the sand from around your legs and everything needs to be slow as shit. You can lay on your back, but you can't move on your back because obviously it would be too difficult, but you're absolutely fine to turn and crawl on your stomach. So there we go.
Right, so all I'm saying is I have often played poker, know how to play poker, and then immediately get bored and go all in. I'm dying in quicksand because I don't have the fucking patience. Right, will we jog on, so?
Yeah, we made it. We fair fucking flew off the handle there. Alrighty, let's dive in.
Oh my god, put me on the spot more. So, this story basically has everything, right? There's a whole lot of evidence. So if you have an issue with anything that's kind of fucked up, you'd probably tap out because it's there. Right, we've got child abuse, identity theft, right, cannibalism, cults, all of the above. Everything. Anton.
Domestic abuse.
Chicken. All sorts. Right. So, we're in Czech Republic. Mm. I think at the time... No, I need to double check this. I should have fucking double checked this.
Just keep it to say it and it's a cesspool fact.
Yeah, no, I was actually going to be 100% wrong, so I'm glad I didn't say that. So we're in Czech, and it's Monday, May 7th, 2007, and a man named Edward was in the town of Kurum in the Czech Republic, and this is, for anyone who knows Czech, is just outside Brno, which is like, I think, the second or third biggest city in Czech. And he was setting up baby monitors in his baby's room. First of all, I want to say, actually, I got all my information from a book. It's The Corum Case by Ryan Green.
Oh, not even the same letter, bitch. Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I said Peter. I don't know where that came from. Anyways, yeah, so by Ryan Green. It was really hard to find actual information, and I couldn't really double check the information in the book with stuff online, because a lot of it was in Czech, obviously.
Yeah.
So, did the best of what I had, and I double checked what I could. So, everything kind of matches up, so it's grand. Grand, whatever, doesn't matter.
Listen, this is a session. No one gets to call us out on a session.
Thank you, Savannah. That's so true. So, yeah, he was setting up the baby monitors in his baby's room. His wife was in hospital and she'd gone into labor and she was about to give birth to their baby, right? I don't know what the story is in Czech, but he obviously wasn't in hospital with her at the time. He didn't seem to be in hospital with her, like, even during the delivery. But maybe that's, like, a cultural thing.
I think it's normal for the men not to be involved in the birth, in certain
cultures. Yeah, I kind of just presumed that it was like that, that it was, like, she probably had a mom and, like, her sister or something with her. But whatever, that's not the point. Yeah. So, anyways, he was setting up the baby monitors. He was just basically, like, nesting AF. He was like, I'm going to get the house ready for the baby. Like, it's going to be coming home in the next few days. We'll get the house ready. So, he's setting up the baby monitors and... It was one of those ones where, like, you know, you can have, like, you have a little screen where you can see, like, the baby in the other room.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's checking it out and he's, like, connected everything up and he looks at the screen to make sure that it was, like, centered properly. And the monitor had picked up the image of a signal, like, from someone else's house. And he was like, what the fuck? And he copped it. He was watching a boy in someone else's house, and this boy was about 7 or 8 and he was naked and he had his arms tied behind his back and he was being kept in a little small room. He was playing with a roll of tape and he didn't look overly miserable. And Edward thinking, like, okay, maybe, go on.
Not to be pedantic about it, did you say his arms were tied behind his back?
I was thinking the same. How did he play with
How was he playing with the roll of tape?
I'm presuming he was fiddling it with behind his back, or like maybe with his feet, or...
Oh, right, okay.
It didn't specify. I wondered the same thing.
Mm.
But that's all. That's the information I have. And Edward thinking that, like, I think it was so fucked up, and he was also, like, busy thinking about his wife in hospital, that he didn't really think of it. I think he just, in his head, was like, they're just kids playing. They're playing, I don't know.
Probably, yeah, cops and robbers or something, and he's after getting arrested, or...
Yeah, a bit weird that he's naked. But,
oh shit, yeah. No, yeah, I kind of deleted that fucking detail from my brain.
Aside from the nakedness, it's kind of semi-normal. Mm.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
up,
not
it's...
at all. A child in a tiny room with his arms behind his back tied with fucking tape, naked in a room, despite...
The nakedness is the only issue.
It's the nakedness that would trigger me, because, like, Adam would have vacuum sealed me if he got the chance.
Playing
you know?
Cops and robbers and stuff, like, absolutely, we were tied up like that when we were kids.
I was constantly, like, hogtied with fucking skipping ropes and shit, like, it was just...
Yeah, but lads, he's the only one stuff. In the fucking, in a tiny room.
Like, yeah,
automatically... I don't
you're
know
only seeing this on a baby monitor. You wouldn't go straight, oh, child abuse. But I would be like, what? Okay, that's a bit weird. But I wouldn't go straight, like, child abuse.
Why,
why would they
have a baby monitor in a tiny dark room when there's no bed?
I don't think he thought that deep into it. I think he was like, there are kids playing and his wife was in labour. And
he's got his own shit going on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't think he's a fucking dumbass, personally, myself. You see a child in a tiny room, no, probably nothing else in there. But yet there's a baby monitor. Why would there be a baby monitor in a closet or something like that where you're going to, like, oh, kids are going to play in? What the fuck is a baby monitor there monitoring? You know what I mean? Unless it was a child that was actively being locked in there.
If we had a baby monitor in the house here, we would have rigged it up to watch whoever was in jail. Like, I'm not saying, like, that's just...
Yeah.
I can see why he didn't think anything of it. But I can see as well, like, why he should have thought something of it. So, anyways, he didn't think much of it, finished setting up or whatever, and he went to visit his wife and baby in hospital. And that was in the morning time of that Monday. And that evening, he arrived home at, like, 5 o'clock. he was shocked that the boy was still there, obviously. He said that the boy was now eaten off the floor. So he obviously immediately called the police, and while he was waiting for them to come, he started recording, like, what he could, I presume with his phone or something. So he's recording away, waiting for the police, and in parts you could see a woman's hand coming into frame and feeding the boy, okay? So the police arrive, they see what's on the monitor, and they obviously cop that, like, okay, the boy has to be within the vicinity of, like, a baby monitor is for short range. So, like, it has to be within, you know, the neighbouring
house.
Like,
it's not going to be, like
fucking 300 yards down the road. It's going to be one of the houses around. Yeah, so they were going around the neighbourhood and they found this small yellow house where 31-year-old Clara and her sister, Katerina Morova, were living. The ages are kind of fucked up in the book. So the book said she was 29, but then some articles were saying she was 32, and then I saw other stuff that's saying she was 30 and 31. So I'm going with the book and saying she was like 29, but that's what I mean. Like, when some details like don't really make sense. So anyways, she was a mother of three and she was single, and she had a 9-year-old son named Jacob, an 8-year-old son named Andre, and a 14-year-old adopted daughter named Annika. So the two sisters were living together, and Clara had a university degree in pedagogy, which is like kind of a degree in like learning, you know, how to teach, kind of. I don't really know. And Katerina worked in a youth centre called Paprasek. Some places said that it was like a childcare place, like a daycare. But then other places said it was a youth centre. It's on Google as a youth centre, so I went with youth centre. But So the women were there and they answered the door, and they said that there was only them and the 14-year-old girl in the home, and that she had a mental disability and that she wouldn't react to people well to people coming into the home, that she'd like kick up a massive fuss. So they left. But when they got back to Edward's house, he had stayed watching the video, and he had heard on the video the conversation that the police had just had with Katerina and Clara. So they went back and they were like, let us the fuck in. So they went into the house and things were like intense as fuck. Like, immediately Annika was going fucking sick. She was upstairs and she was like throwing fucking massive tantrums, like screaming around the place, like, you know, basically exactly what they said was going to happen happened. Investigating the home, and Annika was screaming around the place in the background, and the police found themselves eventually at a padlocked door, and they were like, what's in there? And the women were like, none of your fucking business. And they were like, that's actually exactly what we need to know, what's in there. And they refused, and they sat down in front of the door, the two women, and Annika like crawled into the room and was like babbling away to herself. She kind of babbled like a baby almost, and she started screaming and like wouldn't let them at the door either. Yeah.
Fucking Christ.
It was fucking crazy, right? So you can imagine the police, and this is in like a small town of like 10,000 people, so like it's a small place, so they were like, what the fuck, like you don't expect this.
Yeah.
So anyways, they were told she was like had like in like some level of autism or something like that. There was kind of like, they flip-flopped as to what was wrong with her, if that makes sense. Wrong with her sounds really bad. That's definitely not the terminology I should be using, but you know what I mean.
Well, no, but you're not right if you're walking along or crawling along the fucking floor babbling either, so.
No, yeah, I just don't mean to be fucking disrespectful, like, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, again, mental illness is no one's fault, but mental illness is mental illness.
Yeah, the women and Annika were sitting there throwing straps, being like, you're not getting in. Like, it was like, you know those protests they do that are really embarrassing in the middle of the road? And the police just like dragged them out of the way and like removed them, you know. And the door was kicked in. I saw somewhere that the fire brigade ended up actually arriving to do it, but couldn't find that confirmed elsewhere, so I just left it out. / just told you anyways.
It was either beefy detectives or beefy fire.
I feared you leave our details being like, yeah, I'm not saying that because it's not facts, and then I say it anyways,
and then you bring it straight up. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like a factual fact, it could be a sexual fact, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm just like setting the scene, let's say. The door was kicked in, and shock horror, they found Andre inside. The room he was in was filthy, it was covered in like vomit and like shit. Ones and twos. Yeah, I didn't want to say shit because it sounds so bad, but like, yeah, I don't
know. This is it, excrement. Ew, that's a weird word.
Shit is just the easiest word, like excrement.
Or feces.
Like feces.
Or feces. They sound so much dirtier than just saying
they
shit.
They do. Yeah.
I feel like they sound like exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's rotten.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, obviously poor Andre was like, had to go to the toilet on the floor, was probably gawking and gagging and puking because of the smell and stuff. So it was like just fucking terrible. He was in a horrible way, as you can imagine. He was covered in shite, literally and figuratively. He was dehydrated, traumatized to bits, like just all the way fucked up, as you would be.
Mm-hmm.
But they were taken, obviously, when they were taking him out of the closet, like they were kind of recording, you know, the way they would.
Yeah.
Andre noticed one of the cameras pointed at him and he smiled like immediately, which they were kind of like, jeez, you're in good form. But anyways, whatever.
Jeez, you're in good form.
Because he was, though. They were all like that he was really chill. That he was really fine. And they were like, which obviously speaks to how used to it he was, I'll say. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, the two sisters were arrested and the three kids were brought into custody. Apparently Jacob had actually been in school when the house had been raided. So they had to like wait for him to come home or something. I don't know. Or did they go to school to go get him? I don't know. Possibly he just came home and like all the guards there and he was like, what the fuck? And
what
they were
the
like,
fuck?
We found your brother in a shitty closet. You're coming with us. And he was like, fair. So Clara...
Okay, so it was at least their kid, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah,
it wasn't just some random kidnapped child.
Can I just say, it just went... The way things like this usually go, I'm very surprised it wasn't your one that they had locked away. Do you know some people had an awful habit of locking the mentally disabled into a tiny room?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is weird.
Turn the tables. They have turned the fucking tables.
So Andre and his brother Jacob were Clara's biological children and Annika was their 14-year-old adopted sister.
Right, okay. So the troubled child was kind of adopted into the family then.
Yeah, I'll explain that in a minute.
Even more of a reason why I'm surprised that she wasn't.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. It will make sense. So...
Okay.
Clara kind of didn't really get the fuss. Like, she knew it was fucked up what was going on, but she didn't really get the fuss. She was like, tried to explain away Andre being in the closet because it was like, oh, that he loved Harry Potter and being in like a little room reminded him of it. Mm. And they were like, why did he have to be naked to be playing as Harry Potter? And she like didn't have an answer. The tied up, she was able to kind of be like, oh, Harry Potter, but the naked thing that she couldn't explain away.
But the piss and shit walls and floor is another thing.
He was being Harry Potter.
Did Harry shit in his bedroom? I don't think so.
But you don't know. We don't know his life.
We actually don't know.
And he no room.
Like, he, like, Petunia would not let that happen. Like, as much as they hated Harry. Yeah, they're not going to let that grime up their house.
Obviously, I'm only messing. I'm just saying that was her
yeah,
fucking
logic. Yeah, but now we're arguing Harry Potter semantics.
I know it doesn't make sense. I'm just saying this is what she was saying. So
even the naked part, I'd be like, okay, you know, Harry was neglected and they'd know Dudley to hand him hand-me-downs from. So, okay, we'll explain the way the naked part. Why did he have to be tied up? Why did he have to be tied up?
Girl, I'm just telling you now that this, we're not even through like one page of 4 pages of notes. This isn't even kind of the worst part.
Oh, God.
Look, okay. There's just going to be a lot of this then, okay?
No, there is a lot. So, yeah, so Andre... So, yeah, Jacob was off at school learning. And Andre was being homeschooled because he had, like, been diagnosed with bad hearing or something. So they were, like, able to take him out of school and he was being homeschooled. He wasn't as fuck being homeschooled. He was being bet. And they were like, we don't have to send him to school. Because
so no one can know that he's being met. Bet.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. But... Bad hearing, like, that's a shit reason to take a child out of school just because they're a bit hard of hearing.
But yeah, I suppose it's like, obviously, if they can't learn, it's like, what's the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
but
like
I just
like send them to really an all-hearing school.
Get him in.
Or like a sign language. Like,
this is what I'm thinking. There's SNAs, there's like writing like shit down and stuff or something.
He was, no, but Andre was able to talk and stuff. Like, he was able to talk and like, he was able to, like, isn't he could hear people and he could respond to them. Like, there was no issue with that. I think
so.
It
was just
hard
of hearing then, it wasn't even.
He just had bad hearing. That was it. He had bad hearing. That doesn't mean anything.
All right. I'm just going to have to move on because I'm not... I can't that wrap my head around that
one.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot of little bits that it's like, it's just an excuse.
Just
you know going mean.
To let you move on.
It gets kind of gross and fucked up here. So the two boys were brought in and questioned and it was clear that they'd been like basically brainwashed. They were convinced that they had been... Like that they had deserved the abuse that they'd been suffering for... What the police found out had been over the last like 8 months, they were like, okay, it's been going on since the summertime, since the previous summer. So on the in their first night, so they were brought in and they were kind of like not left alone, but they were kind of like they weren't like bothered, we'll say, like the police were kind of like, we'll just settle them and, you know, this kind of stuff. But they did an examination of the boys, you know, just to see like where we were. They said Jacob was very quiet. They said that he was really kind of distrusting of strangers, which is very valid, obviously. They said that he was scared to speak. He avoided eye contact and he just kept it. He was given a book to keep him busy and he just kept his eyes on the book constantly. Both boys had like unusual scars. They'd long scars in their arms and back. And they had these weird kind of like circular pale like welts around their groins.
Ooh.
And Andre specifically had a large circular scar on his arse, buttocks, bum. I'm fucking old.
I can't believe you just said that word. I cannot believe it.
Buttocks. With the most Irish accent ever as well.
I didn't know. Like, what's a, like a nice way to say it? I
behind.
Know. Valid. Okay, tush. On his behind. Yeah, he had like a large circular scar. Nighttime came and the first night Andre found really, really hard. He was delirious. He was terrified. He thought the pictures that were hung up on his wall were ghosts. Oh. They had to take these pictures down, obviously, but he couldn't really settle anyways. He was having nightmares constantly and the nurses were fucking so upset, God bless them, because he was just shaking and like being like, oh, please just kill me.
Oh. Sorry, did you not say this poor child is 7?
They were 8 and 9, I'm pretty
sure. 8 and 9. Okay,
they're
but
around
still...
that, like... Yeah, no, they were very young. Only baby.
I'm like, even if like a 14-year-old came to me and was like, please just kill me, I'd still be kind of taken aback, but you'd nearly expect it at that age. Fucking 8-year-old. I think I'd actually have to take myself off a building and if an 8-year-old asked me to kill them.
Yeah. Oh. So the police kind of gathered a story, right, as to what had kind of gone on for the last 8. You know, what had kind of happened basically up until now. The story kind of started with Clara. She'd grown up. It was her sister Katerina, who we've already met, and they had another sister, Gabriella. Clara and Katerina both had, like, a lot of weird delusions, but Clara seemed to be kind of, like, not worse, but I don't know. She was much weaker personality-wise as well, so, like, she was easily led, if that makes sense. So, like, you could nearly feed her a delusion and she'd latch onto it and make it real. Like, she would not last in any of our group chats, basically, because we'd be like, this happened.
Oh, God,
and it's made up, and
off.
She would... Yeah. So, both of them... apparently had missions from God. Like, she at one stage apparently thought she was Joan of Arc. Like, this kind of shite. You know, the fucking...
All right, the fucking
religious...
martyr. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Yeah. The religious delusions, right? So, she went to college, Clara did, and she met the father of her sons, Radig Kufal, and they got married at 18 when she fell pregnant with Jacob. Jacob was born in October 1990... That's wrong. October 1996. That must have, should have been. I wrote down 97 and I was like, she hardly... Anyways, yeah. So Jacob was born in October 1996 and Andre was born in September 1997. They're like our age. Which
yeah,
is
literally.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Fucking 27 this year he is.
Yeah.
So weird.
I don't like when these stories are similar in age to us because it's like, it makes it more real.
Yeah. Like, you imagine yourself as like a little, like, 7 or 8 year old, like, just go to back, like, to a memory, and you're like, oh my God, imagine.
Like, they have Jacob as October 1996, and that puts him as being, like, what, like, 6 months younger than Lizzie? But
no.
If I'm wrong...
Me, six months younger
older.
Than me.
Yeah, I'm 97, Kiva.
Oh, you're 97, I always fucking do that.
I'm 96.
But if he is 95, that means he's only a month younger than me, like, it's really weird. Mm. By 2003, the couple were arguing more and more. Clara was, like, you know, a bit of a fucking head the ball, basically. And was, like, having her delusions as per. But she was also being, like, aggressive. She was kind of being physically violent with, like, her husband. And he eventually just said, right, I need to tap out because this isn't right. But he left Clara with full custody because she was really good to the boys.
Oh, right. Okay, I was just about to be like...
No, she was really, really good to the boys. It was just like their relationship obviously just kind of wasn't meant to be, that she was, you know, she was the way she was and it wasn't working.
Mm.
It was said afterwards that she was said to have histrionic personality disorder, which was a desire for external recognition, a psychiatric disorder distinguished by a pattern of exaggerated emotionality and attention-seeking behaviours. So, yeah, she was just a fucking attention seeker, like, diagnosed, basically.
That's... Who did we have like this? Sorry for interrupting you again, but we had recently a serial killer like this that was diagnosed with basically, I'm a massive cunt disorder. And it, like, annoys me that that's a diagnosis.
Wait, was it Tin Can Man?
Was it Tin Can Man? I feel like it might have been Tin Can Man.
Yeah, how he just had, like, a diagnosis of, like, that's why I am the way I am. There's no reason for it.
Yeah.
Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
when it's, like, all actual things you could actually fix. You know,
Charles Schmidt.
Not be a dick.
There we go. Schmidt likes kid. That's the only reason why I fucking remember that.
Schmitty. Yeah, Schmitty. That's who she is. That is who she is.
Anyways, yeah, you'll see it. But basically, they all fucking get diagnosed with this fucking shite. And I'm like, if... I know they probably all, like, attract each other because... But I'm like, what? There's... A fucking heap of people have been diagnosed with this. That means it's probably
more
a little bit of a fucking weak, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean.
It's yeah, it's a fucking herd mentality.
Everyone could be them. Everyone could be that. Yeah. Like, and obviously, I'm not saying that it's not a real disorder or whatever, but I'm saying that I feel like maybe they were overly diagnosed because...
Yeah, like they probably had like accompanying mental illnesses that just made this like the whole attention seeking thing like positively worse. So yeah, it's all right.
Definitely. Oh, she definitely did. Like, she had a lot, like, the delusions and stuff doesn't come with that. By the sound of that, it doesn't come with that. That comes, like, she had delusions and stuff, like, the whole religious thing, even, you know, being aggressive, that doesn't come with what they've said. It's just, I feel like it made it worse. And she was, like, outwardly being like, well, I was sent by God or whatever the fuck. Mm. So, do you know what I mean? Like, probably, like, exacerbated the delusions.
Yeah.
Anyways, it doesn't fucking
matter.
It could
be, yeah.
Anyways, either way, Clara was said to be a very good mother in the beginning, and she was often seen, like, you know, just having a good time with her kids. Like, she, you know, through birthday parties, like, they got on, they went on trips together. Like, a normal, you know, single mother and her two sons, like, she was normal. And the two boys had, like, happy younger years. The third sister, Gabriella, said that Clara was, like, the mother that she wanted to grow up to be, kind of shit. Like, she was good. Yeah. In 2005, after... You know, they broke up in 2003, I suppose. It all kind of went through the courts and all this kind of shit. And in 2005, Clara ended up moving in with Katerina, her sister. And she ended up being introduced to Annika. So the story behind Annika was that her parents were drug addicts who struggled with the level of care that she needed. And her parents, the drug addicts, were apparently known to Clara's grandmother. And they had dropped her off to be minded one day in 2000, the year of 2000, and just never came back for her.
Oh, God.
So... care kind of fell to Clara's grandmother until she died, and then the care ended up being transferred to Clara and Katerina. She was highly dependent, neighbours said, and needed to be carried up and down the stairs to the flat. Clara became really busy and she was fucking withdrawn, and she was having a terrible time, obviously hating her life. She wouldn't have visitors over, like, she refused visitors, which is, like, not really... It's, like, especially Czech culture, that's not a thing. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah.
Like, even here, like, it's like if someone came to the door, being like, no, would be, like, a really fucking big deal unless something was going on. Like, it's one of those, like, hospitality? That's too many.
No, I can't say it.
Hospitality?
Hospitality? No. No?
That's hospitality!
When
hospitality is like part of your culture, we'll say, it's like,
yeah.
It says more as to where her head was at, because it's like, it's really out of the norm, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
She was just constantly exhausted and sad and just fucking miserable, basically. But anyway, she ended up beginning the process of formally adopting Annika with the help of one of Katerina's friends. He was an activist in, like, the adoption system, knew all the rules and regulations. Like, he just was kind of like, you know, there's always like that one person who's like, we're going to get all these kids adopted.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
She was obviously, but her parents haven't been drug addicts, like, she was basically undocumented.
Oh, right.
So that's why it was more of an issue. There was no like documentation. Like, they didn't have a birth cert. They didn't have a passport. They didn't have nothing for her. Only her name, basically.
Shit.
Do you know, was she a drug baby? Presuming if they were drug addicts, they're probably, she was born while they were using.
You'd presume
but
so,
do
yeah.
Do we know if that's the case? We presume so. Okay.
Yeah.
Then that makes a lot of sense then, because I met a fucking drug baby and they are wild. Yeah. Oh. they're actually, like, they're very hard to deal with. And again, it's not at all any of these children's faults, you know, it's not. But they are severely hard to deal with. So, okay, if Attica was a drug baby, the babbling makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
I don't, what are you smirking at, Quave? I need to know.
It's just a story. I'm reading ahead and I'm like, it's so fucking scandalous.
Right, so, okay.
Yeah, so Clara had a friend, Marcella, okay? And Marcella met Annika and questioned her behaviour. She was kind of like, what's the story with your one, like, you know, in a normal way, but she was like...
Yeah, there was her story, she's a bit...
Why, like, because Clara knew Marcella and they used to meet up because Marcella had her own kids and they used to all go on, like, you know, little day trips, like the kids would go off and play. I'm pretty sure Marcella had sons herself. You know, so she knew Clara really well and she was like, who's the child? And what's the deal? Like, she was kind of like, oh, they went to the cinema and she was avoiding eye contact and stuff like this. And Clara was like, oh, she has autism. She avoids contact with strangers. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Perfect. Whatever. Clara started ghosting Marcella after this. Like, she didn't really like being questioned. She was very sensitive about Annika and started ignoring calls and just being generally distant. And I personally get a great vibe off of Marcella. I don't know the woman, but I feel like she wasn't being... bitchy about
bad
it, like
about
she's definitely
it.
Just yeah. one. She, she's no, just the way saying, like, would ask, "Who's your? Yeah. What's the deal?" Like, because you know, you would like.
Yeah, what story would you want? Yeah, you would. Yeah,
yeah. It, even just for your own sake of not wanting to like overstep or say something wrong, you'd be like, "Here is there something I should know about this one?" Like, you know.
But also, she never really met this child before, and she didn't really know the story. Like Annika was very, was a very random in like person.
Yeah,
like she was very. Abrupt, like there was no lead up to it. It was just Annika was there all of a sudden, so it was like,
yeah. If one of you turned up one day with a half cooked fucking nutter of a child, I'm going to be questioning you,
Savannah. And she mentally disabled. That is foul. That is foul.
I meant the fact that it's already like half grown up, not that it's just fresh born. Like I'd question it less if you'd a fresh born baby. You know
we. Oh, okay, okay, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. No, it just meant it sounded like you sounded like you called
I realise what I sounded like now, yeah. Not at all what I meant. No.
No, no, no. It's so... fucking hell.
Sorry.
In the summer of 2006, that's when stuff kind of like started, okay? So this is when the boys are like, this is when it kind of started. Clara and the boys dropped out of their father's life. He was very good with the boys, right? He spent regular time with them, you know, was meeting up with them often, like did shit with the boys, like, you know what I mean? Co-parented with the boys, like he was a good father. But Clara fucking poofed. She was like, you know, she stopped replying to him. She slowly like lost contact with him and he kind of, you know, like he didn't really know what to do about this.
Mm-hmm.
But also she lost contact with the rest of her family. So like her parents and Gabriella, the only one she was left in contact with was Katerina.
Right.
So with Annika being like involved in the family, the boys began acting up a little, probably kind of feeling a little bit jealous of Annika taking so much of their mother's time. You know, basic stuff, but nothing to warrant more than like a basic fucking time out. Like, you know, the usual attention seeking baby stuff. Like it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I'm saying like nothing would warrant like the treatment that they got, but I'm saying they didn't do anything to warrant anything more than like a you're going to bed an hour early kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Slap on the wrist kind of things, like never.
You're not allowed to watch The Simpsons tonight. You know, you're not having dessert versus like you're in time out for 4 hours. Like there's levels.
Yeah.
Also, time out for 4 hours, sure, they're just going to go to bed. But anyways, besides the point. The punishments for their misbehaviour started normal, you know, basic timeouts and shite, but then suddenly escalated.
Mm.
They said that one day they went on what the boys thought was going to be a family trip to a cottage in the country. They arrived and they were immediately put into dog cages and shit went sideways fast.
Oh.
Like, they got there and they were like, which room are we going to get? And they were like, the fucking cage on the ground to get in. They were forced to eat from dog bowls, pet bowls, whatever the fuck, and told they couldn't speak to each other or in general. They had bags put over their heads so they couldn't see who was hitting them or beating them. They were forced to hurt themselves and each other. At one point, they had to dig their own graves and lie in them while they were, you know, people were shouting at them going, oh, you're dead, you're dead. Yeah, it's so severely fucked up.
I honestly hope someone tears that bitch's spine out and uses it as a fucking xylophone. I swear to God, that dirty tramp cunt.
I feel less bad about calling the other one half-baked at this point now as well. Like, fucking...
Oh, it gets worse. So, they had hot water poured over them, but not like boiling water. Oh. It was like hot enough that it would hurt, but it wouldn't leave a mark. Okay, so it was poured right over their stomachs. Like, it wouldn't burn.
Oh,
but you know when it's like...
Like when you get into a too hot bath.
And you're like, yeah, that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the... Like, ugh. And Andre, who for some reason, nobody really knows why, but Andre took the worst of the abuse. And he, at one stage, had his head held underwater until he thought he was going to drown. So, at this point, it's not just Clara and Katerina there and involved, like, as the only two adults. It also, there's two men. Jan Skurla and Jan Turek, so the two Jans, and a woman named Hanna Basova. They all three of them worked in the fucking day center, youth center.
Youth center place. So all these people worked with kids.
Yeah. The three of them also joined in on the abuse, which also fell into sexual abuse. Okay.
I knew we had to get there eventually, but I didn't want to.
Yeah. There's no details on it because obviously we're in Europe and shit isn't specified.
Yeah, we can assume.
Jacob said that he had been stabbed with kitchen utensils. Do you remember those little small little welts that I mentioned? Apparently, Clara, a non-smoker, bought cigarettes just so she could put them out on them.
What the fuck?
Girl, you don't even
smoke and you want to do that. Like,
how do you, like, girl, and I know she was like trying to light it, like, you know, you have to like smoke it to light it properly. Like, I know she was coughing embarrassing. A whole lung up. Because I know she bought fucking strong shit because they don't be smoking. The lights here are in check, like.
No.
Right. The last of the abuse is this. And then we're done kind of mostly talking about it. Do you remember I said Andre had like that weird scar on his behind? Oh, yeah. Thanks, Lizzie. So, basically, they took him out of his cage, held him down, cut off part of it, and sat around and the adults passed it around and ate it in front of him.
They did not eat a part of his rump like a fucking rump steak. No, they did not. No, they did not.
Who is this? The royal family? What the fuck is going on?
Fucking adrenochrome. Like, what the fuck? I was like, it kept getting worse. And I was like, how is this? This can't get any worse. The Graves thing has to be the worst part.
No, apparently not. They're filleting the child.
They didn't. I'm sorry. They didn't even cook it.
Eek!
It was, no, just they did it. They cut it off him and then passed it around like a fucking circle jerk.
What the fuck?
I don't know. It makes no, I don't know.
I'm actually, no, genuinely baffled. After getting dizzy. Like, that is after turning me so much.
I'm so glad you haven't heard the story because it's so fucked up.
Never have I ever heard of this story.
I don't know how we've never heard this story. But this
I don't know. Enya had heard of it. Or she'd heard of some of it anyways. Anyways, we're going to keep going because you're never going to process that. So they went home. Jacob went back to school. But, you know, sad he had to miss things like swimming, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, because obviously he couldn't, like, undress.
Undress.
In front of anyone.
Because
yeah.
He was, you know, like he'd marks all over him, basically. Andre was brought to like their workplace and was kept chained up under Hannah's desk while the two Jans like fed and exercised him. So at this point they had, before they went to the cottage, they were living in Katerina's house. Okay, they went to the cottage, right. And when they came back they ended up moving into that little yellow house that the boys were found in,
right? Okay.
So they weren't there the whole time. So yeah, during the day he had to just pee in a bucket and at night time they let him use the toilet and that was it. And then he was transferred to the small room once it was, like, organised. So the police were hearing all this and they were like, what the fuck, okay? And they're looking at Annika and she, like, wouldn't let them, like, examine her because, you know, she'd freak out when anyone would come near her,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Makes sense under the whole, like, doesn't let strangers near her thing. But from what they could see, that she was unmarked. She was 100% fine. And the boys explained this by saying that there were points in their abuse where... So they'd be woken up in the middle of the night, basically, and they were told that Annika was going to get, like, two lashes or two whatever. and they were told that she wouldn't be beaten if they took one each, and they every single time they would take them.
Oh.
So whenever she was due a beating, they would take it for her, basically. And they tried to protect her. But the police noticed that they spoke really positively of Annika, but like almost too positive, like for siblings. Like they spoke about her like she was a deity almost, like that she was super special.
Okay.
Yeah, that they were like overly... They'd obviously been kind of almost indoctrinated into like fawning over her. And then that I feel like this, the whole thing of like they were testing the boys to be like, will you take a beating for her? Just to see like, you know, how brainwashed were they, if that makes sense. So Annika, in the meantime, was impossible to deal with, but they wrote this off like just, you know, that's just her disability. Like they just kind of didn't really think much of it. But she was at one stage given paper and like pens and shite to draw and, you know, that she could like entertain herself away. And she was discovered to be doing fucking advanced maths on the thing, like calculus and shite. And like doing this, the cubed root of this, that and the fucking other, you know.
For the craft.
Fucking hell, like, you know.
As we've all done.
Yeah, fair play. But 3 days in, so the three kids were being kept at like a care facility. But 3 days into their stay, Annika disappeared. She...
What?
She just poofed, figured out how to open her window or something in her room, climbed out.
Did that
and was
bitch
gone.
Not need help? Oh, sorry, bitch. Sorry, that was awful. Did she not like need help going up and down the stairs? No. But now she's
that's
pulling
the thing.
A fucking
like,
Houdini.
Even like they brought her to the cinema and stuff, and she was like the only thing that Marcella noticed was that she wasn't making eye contact. But then it was like, she was like crawling around on the floor and babbling like a baby. Then the next minute, and then like,
is
she can't get upstairs.
Made up vibes off of Annika.
So the police begin a manhunt and they're thinking like, you know, that, okay, were there other people involved? You know, because they knew obviously about the two Jans and that Hannah bitch. They were like, has someone else involved, you know, come and got her? Or has she somehow escaped and now she's wandering around and she's like lost as fuck?
A danger.
And, like, you know.
Yeah.
To herself.
I mean, she's a mentally disabled child. Like she can't be running around by herself. Like.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No, she's a danger to herself. Like.
The police obviously were posting online and everything else, which is always so weird because I'm like, it's so recent that I'm like, they were posting this probably on Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which is so fucking weird. Co-workers of Katarina's, so that they used to all work at the youth centre, whatever the fuck, together, saw these pictures and began raising questions because Annika was the fucking head of 32-year-old Barbara Skarlova, who used to also work with them.
Not the orphan bitch.
Fuck.
Not the fucking orphan.
Annika was sus.
I am scandalized.
I need a moment.
I cannot. I just had like, oh my god, what the fuck?
Griffin, did you make this story up? Like, did this actually fucking happen?
Is this where the orphan came from? Genuinely, like, was it inspired by this shit?
Sus as fuck. Yeah, it doesn't really add up. Yeah.
Yeah, but I did, like, did not expect
especially
this.
Especially
since
she didn't have a birth cert. Like, even if she, like, if she was born in the hospital, there would be a record of her there. Like, it gets filled out, like, they fucking die.
She, no, but to be fair, like,
yeah, but if she
babies
born
aren't
in
born in hospitals, like.
Was she not, born in a crack? Was she born in a crack then? Semen, supposedly, apparently.
Well, evidently
story,
not
yeah.
considered she wasn't a child, but, like.
Well, I know that, but, I mean, was her, like, part of her cover-up story that she was born in a crack then, or was she just, like,
I presume
born
so,
in a
yeah,
hospital?
That she just wasn't, she was so. Undocumented, like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the story of Annika.
Because that's what I assumed when Cuiva said that, like, was that she was just, like, cracked in baby, born in a crack den and kind of put in a wheelie bin sort of thing.
Druggy parents and were like, she was like jumped off of granny's house.
Literally, just before we got off to our start this podcast, I was chatting about putting a child in a wheelie bin. Or no, by a bus
station.
Were
you like making plans or?
No, just if I was in a bad situation, I could see, like, there was. No, I would never put a child in a wheelie bin. But we were just talking about something before this, and I was like, oh yeah, if I was in that situation, I probably would have done this. If I couldn't do something else about it, basically.
Yeah, you can see how people lead their way to wheelie bin babies. I get what you're on
about. Yes.
Okay, right. No, fucking tell me about Annika now. I need to know.
Yeah,
what's
this
the
is
crack?
So, Barbara was a 32-year-old woman, and she used to work at Proposec with, you know, Katarina, and she had hypopituitarism. I've fucked that, but anyways, it affected her growth.
She had small child disease.
Yeah, it left her looking much younger than she actually was. They had her and Katerina had met in college and they worked together in the youth centre. But Katerina heard this, they were like, is Barbara the same person as Annika? And she was like, no, like, they're two separate people, like, I know them both separately.
Why are you lying, Katerina? Eh?
Anyways, they were kind of like, all right, we're going to start picking holes in this. But then at the same time, they started wondering, they were like, how are these women, like, paying bills? Because Clara wasn't working, Katerina was only working in, like, the youth centre, like, you know, they weren't going to be making money. And they began speculating that the footage of Andre was being sold to paedophiles. Yeah.
It's like, could it possibly get worse? And if
it's about to get worse in the next line, because they hadn't actually seen exactly who had been abusing them in the cottage with all the, you know, fact they had bags over their heads for a lot of the time. So they were speculating that did other people come and like take part in the abuse?
Oh my God, no, stop. Yeah, wow, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah.
So that's why the whole dog thing.
Wow. And
all of a sudden,
they also remembered him when he was pulled out of the closet, how he immediately like smiled when he saw the camera, and they were wondering like, had he been coached?
Oh, bless him, Pat. Yeah, he definitely was.
See, I did wonder, was it like a performing thing? But I thought it was a performing thing of like pretending you're okay,
or you just know? A kid being like a little bit innocent,
or that, yeah. But I thought it'd be like smile for like, these are policemen, so smile so you're happy, you know? I never thought it was a... Okay. All right.
So anyways, yeah, Annika is off fucking gallivanting and the police end up getting a letter from her, right? And this letter was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for running away. Like, blah, blah, I'm just trying to help my mother. Like, blah, blah. This girl who'd been crawling around on the floor and fucking babbling like a baby, this, that, and the fucking other, she was basically non-verbal like 90% of the time, but had apparently written a 10-page letter in perfect grammar and also managed to buy a stamp, probably. I mean, I'm assuming you need stamps and check. And managed to also post it.
No. No.
She said that the reason Andre had been put in the closet was because he'd gotten really aggressive and had threatened to kill her, and he threatened to kill Clara, and he threatened to kill his brother, and this, that, and the fucking other. And he was only in there for like 2 hours, like total. Like, he was not, like, that wasn't like a normal punishment. Like, that was only just like the day. So why was there like literal shit up the walls?
And a whole working day between the man first seeing him and seeing him again to the point of realizing, oh, this is bad.
Yeah, because, and why was he being fed on the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And full of welts and fucking...
burn marks and his hands tied behind his back and every fucking thing. Oh, don't deny me.
I hate when I shit up a whole room if I have to sit in it for 2 hours.
Right. So this letter arrived and they were like, what the fuck? And it ended up being traced back to this cottage that Katerina and Barbara had worked at. It wasn't specified if it was the same cottage as the one that the lads were like abused in, but... So yeah, the police are obviously questioning Annika's entire fucking existence, but all the judges and social workers and lawyers and everyone else who'd been involved in Annika's adoption and all that kind of shite were really confused by the whole thing. They all said that they had been speaking to and seen a child when they were involved in her case. Like, they were like, that was a child. Like, the judge was like, I spent 4 hours with a child, you know? They were like, what the fuck? But then it came to light that Barbara's father, Joseph, was running a religious cult called the Grail Movement.
Oh, here we are.
Of course his name was fucking Joseph.
Yeah. Katerina had also joined the cult while they were in college. And it was this kind of like hippie version of Christianity, like spirituality kind of vibe. You know, that kind of shite. Like the kind of like, you know, the hippie dippy Christianity shite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you're like, is that even Christianity? I don't know. It was kind of like, child abuse wasn't encouraged by this cult, like, but it was, discipline was, and Katerina and Barbara were able to kind of twist the testament, we'll say, to suit them. And Joseph, who was running the cult, was similar, that he was kind of like, yeah, it was kind of like, oh, we're not saying that you should, but also, does it work?
Can turn a blind eye, yeah.
So, and it was basically realised that Annika and Barbara were one and the same. That Barbara was playing a character, aka Annika. They did a DNA test and proved it, because when the kids were taken in, their DNA and stuff was taken and it was proven I don't know how they had her DNA from, like, back in the day, but they did. I don't know,
she probably had her own birth cert, though. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. And if she had some sort of a disability, I wonder, like, because to say...
Well, Barbara didn't.
Probably went for testing.
Barbara had no disability whatsoever. All she had was the hypo...
No, but the fact... Yeah, but that would have dwarfed her. I suppose that is a disability. Yeah, like, it is. So, like, I don't know, would she have, like, bloods taken or something like that where they were able to match it? I don't fucking know.
If she first got diagnosed with it, like, back when she was Barbara kind of thing, and then still had that, that could have been the case, yeah.
So, yeah, they did a DNA test anyways and proved it, and on June 11, 2007, it was confirmed. The child that had been in the courtroom, because there actually had been a child, had not been Barbara. They had used a step-in, like, stand-in child from
fuck
the court.
Off! What the fuck?
The mother of which worked at the youth centre. Yeah. So, my question in this, right? So, up until now, right? Up until the whole fucking case, basically. Clara still believes in Annika, right? So, she still thinks Annika is Annika. Barbara doesn't exist. Barbara...
Wait, so Clara wasn't Annika even is in Annika. On this?
No, but that's what I don't understand, is Clara... saw this random fucking child going into the courtroom being like, okay, I have to pretend to be Annika so that when they take my DNA, because they had to take DNA to, like, ensure that the adoption process was, like, for that specific child, if that makes sense.
Yeah. She never
How did
that
she,
it
in her
Annika?
Head, kind of be like, okay, that makes sense. Like, why didn't she go, like, why, what was the reason for Annika not being able to be the child in the court?
They probably told her that Annika would freak out in the courtroom, so she can't be around it. So they're just going to get this...
A little stand-in, yeah.
A little stand-in child. True. That's probably how... Okay, now I'm shook. I didn't know Clara, but, like, didn't know that Annika was a big fucking fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
So the police realised then that Clara and Katerina, who, while they're being questioned, were kind of basically just... They were only... speaking on what they specifically had done, like, they wouldn't speak on anyone else, and they realised that the two women were protecting other cult members who had been involved in the abuse. They'd been involved in the abuse, but they'd also been involved in Barbara becoming Annika, the adoption, everything, like forging medical shit, all of the above. Yeah. So it also turned out one of the Jans, so the two Jans, Jan Skirla was Barbara's brother.
God.
So Annika,
what the fuck,
aka Barbara, was related to one of the Jans. Obviously they were like, what's the story with the cult? What, so they were like, we need to see what the story is with the cult. They raided the cult. They were like, everything's coming from the cult and the youth center, you know. So they raided the cult and loads of legal documents were recovered, like stuff involving children enrolled in, like, the youth center, medical documents of, like, forged illnesses. Everything was forged, basically. Everything was fake. It was, like, passports, everything you can imagine. Annika / Barbara had climbed out the window back in fucking, when were they found? May 7th. And she climbed out the window 3 days later. So, like, the 10th or 11th of May, she climbed out the window, right? And she vanished. She was gone. And nobody had seen anything to do with her until the 15th of June. Barbara, her father, the guy who runs the cult, a lawyer, a police officer, and some random man, so a squad, right, rocked up to the Czech embassy in fucking Copenhagen, Denmark.
So right? They fled, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. So I was listening to lots of podcasts, and a lot of them were, like, American, as per usual, and they were all kind of like, oh, how did she get across so many borders with no passport? But in Europe, you don't need a passport to travel around. There's no checking at borders or anything. And I just wanted to say that. So, like, anyone who's American who's listening, who might know that. Anyone who's not from Europe might know that. But you don't need a passport. Once you're in Europe, you can travel around any country
you want. Europe has free borders.
I just wanted to say that for anyone who wasn't, like, wasn't from Europe. Because I feel like people don't realise that if they don't know. They rocked up anyways to the Czech embassy. They were looking to get, like, a passport for Barbara or something. It's fucking shite. And they were like, oh, Barbara is just so terribly sorry for all the hassle she's caused. She's so sorry that she lied.
She abused a child.
Oh no, So she apparently had trauma. And acting young, so acting the way she looked, we'll say, helped her with this. She said that she wasn't treated by, like, an adult by adults, which I'm going to say valid, because she definitely wasn't. And she found living as a child to be easier. And I'm not going to fucking dispute that. I feel like that's valid.
No, yeah, I feel like,
oh, yeah.
But everything else is fucked. Absolutely. I'm just saying that sentence of not being treated like an adult by adults.
Yeah.
You look like a child. You're going to be...
Yeah. It's you're gonna not going to get the same respect, no.
Like, it's even
yeah,
with
not.
That girl that's... at the minute, you know, there's that whole kind of thing of, like, that girl that's went out with this guy and she has the same... And everyone is basically, like, saying shit about him that it's weird. And it's like, she has every right to want a relationship with someone. And her it's not her age. Fault. Yeah, and it's not her fault that she looks like a child. She's supposed to be single forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know? So, anyways, that's besides the point. I just wanted to say that. But, yeah, so the excuse was is that, like, acting young, like, helped her with trauma. And, yeah, like, from working in, like... the youth centre daycare, whatever, that she began suffering from age dysphoria and that, you know, interacting with these kids made her want to be young again.
Oh, fuck off, will ya?
She said Katerina was able to kind of like make sense of her thought processes and helped her craft the Annika character. But she very quickly realised that nobody actually fucking felt bad for the bitch. And instead they were realising that actually, oh my god, is she... So that basically means that she was actually an adult this whole fucking time who actually doesn't have a disability and instead sat back and watched these two young boys be abused also on her behalf sometimes.
Not, yeah, literally not only watched them being abused, made sure they were abused because they were taking beatings for her bad behaviour that never happened.
So she disappeared again in August.
Off the fucking edge of a bridge, a hole.
Yeah.
I was going to say offside of a cliff, Savannah. Tell you, two minds.
That was August 2007, okay? But the 5th of January 2008, a man named Michael Reha was arrested as he dropped off a rental car. This story now made no fucking sense to me. I made as much sense of it as I could. You can go and read the book if you want and try and make sense of it yourselves. But this is what I fucking could put together with the details because I found it fucking baffling. Made no sense to me.
Okay, so this is meant to be part of the story though, right?
Oh, yeah. So, Michael Reha was arrested as he dropped off a rental car that he'd rented in Oslo, but he was dropping it off in the city of Tromsø in Norway, okay?
Okay.
And he was travelling with 13-year-old Adam Farner. Adam had been going to school in Oslo where his teachers found him to just be odd. He was really nervous, like he used to go into fucking hysterics if there was a loud noise, like a teacher closed a window loud or something at one stage and he was like fucking screaming around the place for hours, kind of shite, you know, the usual. It wouldn't be want to be in a classroom when the lights went off with him kind of vibe.
Yeah,
a screamer.
See, I normally would have sympathy here, but I'm not trusting this at all. I'm like, is it just another fucking Annika?
So he was asked about, like, you know, why are you so fucking odd, god bless you. And he said that his father had been sexually abusive and rented him out to other men.
Oh.
So the teachers were like, ew, what the fuck? He ended up drawing a picture of him along with six other children with blood on their hands and feet. And then there was this big man standing over them.
Right.
So Adam's dad is obviously arrested because they were like, something's fucking off with you. That's super suspicious. And your child is drawing creepy pictures.
Yeah. Electric chair.
Fucking the whole stigmata fucking vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, 16th... Okay, sorry. Okay, so the timeline. So this is all before Michael Reha was arrested, right? So the story had of Adam is all that story. And then on the 16th of December, Adam had been... He'd been placed in an orphanage, right? And they decided to go on an outing. And Adam was like, class, we're going to go on an outing. So he went out and they... You know, we're walking around, fucking, you know, outings in primary school kind of vibe. And he ran off to a nearby car, one of the kids said, and got into it and it drove off with him inside. And it was then that Michael Reha was arrested for being in his company. Okay? So,
right.
It was like, there was a couple of days that, like, he'd been noticed with Adam. The receptionist who actually kind of, like, tipped him off said that she saw Adam and Michael holding hands. And she was like, that's super fucking weird for a teenage boy to be doing in Norway. No, weird, odd, call the guards.
Yeah.
She was like, that's call suspicious. That's weird.
911.
Sorry, I love the difference. It's like hand holding, call the police. Little naked boy tied up on a baby monitor.
That's just. So.
The difference in these countries, like.
Genuinely. So. yeah, this was kind of sus. And then Michael went to drop off the rental car in Tromso, and that's when police arrested him. And they took Adam, and then it was discovered that Adam was actually Barbara as well.
What did I say before you started telling me about Adam? What did I fucking say?
So,
I know, Kiva, no, stop for a minute, please. Don't you dare. My neck is detached from my fucking body with the whiplash. I am getting in this. This is shocking. This is shameful.
We're quitting the podcast after this episode. We will never have a story this fucking scandalous again.
Like, never. Never.
What the fuck do you mean it was Barbara?
So the story that they think is that Barbara ran away from the care facility. She had at this stage shown up in Denmark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trying to get a passport.
And the thought is that the family that she, that Adam, like Adam, the Farriners, let's say, so Adam Farriner, the Farriners took Barbara in and said that she could take on their actual son's identity because they were part of the Holy Grail, whatever the fuck, the Grail movement.
The fucking cult.
And
oh my God.
That she could take on their son's identity as a shield and he could stay in check while they lived in Norway. Just to wait out the fucking, the storm.
I don't understand.
I'm so confused.
It's so fucking crazy. This, Barbara had the busiest 2 years of anyone's life ever.
Honest to God.
These bitches lived more fucking different lives than a cat. I swear to God.
Loki himself has taken less forms than this woman.
Honestly.
I'm starting to believe that Barbara might actually be an anointed being at this point, because how the fuck
Lads,
does she
is one of us fucking Barbara at this point? Because I don't know.
It's when Lizzie just pulls the mask off.
It's a knee, Barbara.
Yeah, so the timeline is, right, the timeline is that she went missing from Copenhagen, Denmark in August of 2007. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Presumably immediately ended up being placed with the Adam, with Adam's family, okay?
Da-na-na-na.
Then he started saying that weird shit was going on with his dad, so he got placed in an orphanage. And then the orphanage were like, let's go for a stroll. And in December, he ran away to hang out with fucking Michael. I don't, well, Barbara did. Ran away to hang out with Michael for whatever fucking reason. Then they got caught on the 5th of January. Okay, so that's the timeline.
Right, okay.
On the 9th of January, Barbara was extradited and landed back in Czech. She was obviously fucking denied bail because she was a massive serious flight risk, obviously. Oh, she ran away like 500 times.
Bitch is like a chameleon though. She could adapt to anything. It's terrifying.
She's super
except
scary.
Except kind of not, because she fair had a chance of living a normal life as Adam, but she decided to start whooping at the fucking curtains in the classrooms again.
Yeah, but even the fact that she was like, she didn't have to say that her dad was a pedo. Well, not her dad, but Adam's dad. Like,
yeah. Like, thanks for giving me your son's secret identity. I'm now going to say that you've been raping him for your whole life. Yeah, why? Like,
oh, I'm annoyed I didn't write it in.
Why?
I didn't write it down. I should have, but that basically, the dad was like, cool about it. He was like, yeah. What? He wasn't really bothered. Like, by the whole,
pedo,
you know,
allegations.
Yeah, he didn't really seem to be bothered, like.
I feel like there's only one reason you wouldn't be bothered by being called a paedophile, and that's
if there's a touch
pedophile.
Of truth. Yeah.
Okay, here, I have it here. Even though he'd known the truth about Barbara's identity and that the stories that had led to his arrest were untrue, Martin Farriner, so Adam's dad, had avoided spilling the beans about her. Once the truth came out, however, the charges for which he had been arrested were dropped. So, obviously, everything that Barbara had said as Adam was obviously lies, so the charges were dropped. But unfortunately, his life in Norway was finished. Mm-hmm. Like, he obviously lost his job. And, like, even when the truth came out, it was such a weird, fucking creepy situation that he was just, like, nearly blacklisted from Norway kind of vibe.
Yeah.
No, again, if I knew him and then it's like, oh, actually, no, it turns out he wasn't Nansen Adam. There was a 32-year-old woman impersonating him and she was the one going around saying that he was not. I'd be like, no. Oh, he's a
like, it's too
what
bizarre to
for?
Fucking,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bizarre to be like.
Too big to be true. It's too big to be true. It is. but it's too big to be true.
Yeah.
There's no way, nah, that man's whole life fucking gone. Yeah.
Like he wouldn't, he said that, like, oh, I had nothing to do with her escaping from, like, the care facility. But he wouldn't say when she joined, like, their family, we'll say. I mean, I don't know why he was still protecting her, but, I mean, we can speculate that in a bit, but...
Mm.
She landed back in Czech on the 9th and, you know, denied bail, etc., etc. And by the 15th, she was finally say it was finally said that she was well enough to undergo interrogation, that, like, I presume before this, she was probably all fucking Lula.
Screaming at the curtains again.
Yeah, and she said she'd suffered torture herself and showed scars and all these marks in her body to back it up. And as I said, Clara, up until this point, still believed Annika. Like, that Annika was real, etc., etc. And it wasn't until she saw Barbara talking about Annika as a separate person and saying that she herself had been a victim that she realised, and she told investigators that Barbara had been involved in the abuse. She said that she had been the one who had actually held Andre's head underwater that time that he'd nearly drowned, and had also been involved in beatings. On February 11, 2008, Barbara was charged with child abuse, and as soon as she was charged, she began cooperating again. So, like, before this, she was like, I'm not answering any questions, you know, this, you know, the fucking usual, trying to throw stuff in the works.
Mm-hmm.
And I say cooperating, you believe what you want, but this sounds fucking sus to me. But she said basically that she hadn't wanted to become Annika, but Katerina and Clara had forced her. And Clara didn't even know you were Annika until last week.
Clara fully tried to adopt you. Actually, Clara did adopt you. Succeeded in adopting you.
But the fact that she's able to make up new identities at a drop of a fucking hat as well, like a pet.
Yeah.
Smells like shite. You know what I mean?
Oh, you didn't want to be Anakin. Or Anakin. Anakin Skywalker. You didn't want... Ew! No, very Anakin vibes, actually. Killing the younglings. But,
No, just...
Didn't want to be Annika, but was absolutely chill being Adam.
You know what I mean?
Shut up. Wait till you fucking hear.
What's the difference, Babs?
It gets worse. So, yeah, she said that the two women had... It manages somehow. It's really crazy how that works.
No, but I'm not forgiving you for this one.
She said that they had abused her psychologically and physically, etc., etc., that they were torturing her to make her become Annika, and they forced her to take drugs so she'd be, like, tripping the fuck out, and they were, like, going to convince her how to be Annika. And it came to the point where, like, oh, she could visit her mother and she could be Barbara while she was with her mother, but every other time... And she was like, oh, the Annika personality, like, took over me, and oh, it's kind of shite, right? And she said that she was being sold to evil men.
Method acting, is it?
Mm. She said...
All right, Jared Leto, you fucking sad sack.
She said she was being sold to evil men who do ugly things to children.
You do ugly things to children, Barb.
You just look like once you think that makes it okay. You just look young.
Genuinely.
But also the thing is like she didn't look... Like her face and stuff, like you could still, like, you know, there's a difference.
Her face probably with age, though.
Yeah, she just looked like a smaller adult, if that makes sense. Like, she just looked
like... They had the body of an 8-year-old, but, like, she had the crow's feet of a fucking 30-year-old.
She didn't. That's the thing. Wait till I fucking tell you. Because 2nd of April 2008, the investigation was closed, and on the 21st, they were all formally indicted. So, Clara, Katerina, Hannah, and Jan Skirla, so... Barbara's brother, they all faced 12 years each for abuse of persons entrusted to their care and deprivation of liberty of minors. Okay? Barbara and Jan Turek faced 8 years for aggravated cruelty. Clara had a different story as to what the... You know the boys gave the story of who Annika was?
Yeah.
Clara had been fed a different story. So she kind of watered it down for the boys, we'll say.
Okay.
So... story Clara had been given was that Annika was after being rescued from sex trafficking and was dying of leukemia, right? That she only had a few years to live.
Oh my god.
Okay.
I'm losing the fucking will to. I cannot deal with this anymore.
Yeah. She said that Annika was like, you know, had her mental disabilities and stuff, and that she was very wary of strangers, but then Katerina introduced Clara to Annika and she was like, oh my god, I can't believe how close she's letting you get to her, like she's usually so wary of strangers, like she's letting you do this, you know you should take her in, basically, that like she gets on really well with you. So Clara was immediately really invested in Annika. She tested for bone marrow transplant, this kind of shite, right? But she wasn't matched. Oh my god. You know, blah, blah.
And that's such an invasive surgery as well.
Even just the test is fucking painful, like.
Yeah. So Clara took in Annika and learned that her issues were way more complex than she realised.
Yeah, because when you're making them up, they tend to be fucking erratic.
There was this mysterious doctor, okay? Annika had a doctor.
Tell me it was Barbara.
No.
It turns out it was actually probably Katerina. So she never really met this doctor. I saw a few people were saying that like she had met the doctor, but it was in a car park and it was really dark, so she never really got a good look at him.
What the fuck? What general practitioner is meeting people in a fucking car park?
Ask Clara, because she believed all this.
What's in COVID times then, love, when they're calling out to the car window?
If we've any listeners in check, and they please tell us, is it a frequent practice to go to like a supermarket car park at night to meet your doctor? Like, it's a dodgy drug deal. Like, is that normal? Can you fill us in?
Like, so, yeah, she was getting texts off this doctor, and it turns out it was from Katerina's fucking phone. I think she probably had a burner phone or something, like a drug dealer, but she was texting.
Her own fucking sister, like.
So.
Wait. What's this face? You've made a face.
Clara gets a text, right? Fucking Love Island, got a text, vibe. She's told by this mysterious doctor that Annika had hydrocephaly, okay, and needed 8-hour spinal massages to help the fluid drain, okay. It was also encouraged that her bits also be massaged to help her relax and to help them bond.
No. No.
Clara complied for hours every day.
8 hours.
I don't know what to say.
So Barbara got Katerina to text her sister, given a doctor's prescription for her fingering.
My favourite part of this whole thing is that I know Clara would like go to the shops or something, and fucking Barbara would turn to Katerina and be like, will you text her and see, would she give me a fondle? And then she genuine. Was like that was consensual on Barbara's part.
Yeah. But it's like, but Clara's getting molested and doesn't even know. This is a grown ass woman and she thinks she's just helping a poor small child who's sick, and she's getting fully Lads, I can't fucking. What do you even call that? Like, how do you molest someone into like touching you? How do you
coercion? Maybe sexual coercion.
Like, Barbara's the one getting touched, but Clara's the one being sexually assaulted here, and I can't make it make sense. You know,
I would call it coercion.
Yeah,
yeah,
or like false pretenses. It's worse. It's like I would say, like, it's the, like, I'd put it under the same kind of thing as, like, the lad taking the condom off mid. It's not the same, yeah. But it's the same, like, it's, I don't know what the word is for that, but there is a word. But
it's like you consented to do something, but not in the context of what it actually was.
How it's now being done. Yeah.
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 I don't fucking know.
Anyway, what the fuck?
So, can I adopt Clara? I'm actually putting out a fucking thing here. I want to just adopt Clara and mind this poor woman.
I feel like the term adoption has so far traumatized this woman that even if that word was ever brought up to her again, she's exploding.
Do you know what? You're fucking spot on, Liz. It's bad form of me to even mention the word at this point.
When Clara had originally wanted to start adopting Annika, the doctor said, it wouldn't be possible because of how the boys were treating her. He said the boys were acting up in the home and that Annika didn't feel safe and she wouldn't feel safe until they were nicer to her and this, that and the fucking other, right? As I said, they did act up a little bit, you know, with a little mild jealousy, probably that kind of a fucking basic shite.
Mm.
But he said that this needed to be nipped in the bud because they were going to end up in prison, so maybe she should give them a taste of prison life to teach them what it would be like if they didn't learn how to behave.
Sorry. Can we stall the ball there first quick? Since when was cutting a steak-sized lump out of a child's fucking arse and then nibbling on it? How is that shit that they do in prison? Tell me.
Also, just to make you hate Barbara that little bit more.
If possible.
She used to set them up. So she'd like, you know, they'd like, what do normal kids do to make a mess? Like they make a mess and whatever, like make a mess of their fucking playroom.
Oh yeah.
They'd clean it up and she'd go in, and mess it up. And then Clara would blame the lads and they'd be like, that wasn't us. And then she'd be like, you're lying now. Or Annika would like draw on the walls or, I'm making this up, but you know, that kind of stuff that like,
Yeah.
She'd like break something and say it was them or, you know, this kind of shit.
Fucking Candace trying to get Phineas and Ferb caught.
Literally. So she'd make it worse and worse for them. And at that point, then the trip to the cottage was planned. Okay. So during the trial, Jan Turek, so the other Jan, the Jan that like was being given less time, denied any involvement or knowledge. He said the dog cages had been his because Katharina knew that he had dogs and knew that he had the cages, but he didn't know what they were going to be used for. His ex-wife Lucia, who had actually accused him of domestic violence in the past, took the stand and said it actually had been her who had been abusive. So he was on the stand saying, I could never hurt anyone, I couldn't hurt anything, this, you know, this kind of shite. And then obviously they were like looking at the past domestic abuse allegations and his ex-wife went up to kind of like recant them. She said that Jan had never retaliated physically, that he just like removed himself from the situation and she would then like fake her injuries. His girlfriend at the time also said she'd never seen like a violent side to him. Marcella, do you remember Clara's friend who'd been at the cinema?
Was
also friends with Lucia. And she was surprised by this like total fucking 180. She was like, what the fuck? Until after the trial or after her going up on stand or whatever the fuck, Lucia approached her and told her to keep quiet about everything and not look too deeply, that there was stuff afoot, basically.
Don't look too deeply into the messiest, deepest story that's ever going to happen in this
basically
country.
What I would say is that she had been threatened by the cult as a whole. And they told her, go up and recant it now or we'll make sure you're sorry. And she did it.
Mm. I don't blame her. I would too, but like...
Well, make your life easy, to be honest.
I just raging that she did, you know?
Yeah.
Raging they got to her.
Yeah, it's a fucking dose. It's actually like... Barbara, meantime, was on the I was also abused fucking train and she was like, oh, I'm pure fucking miserable. I had a horrible time as well. Until her wounds were actually formally inspected and they were all either self-inflicted from plastic surgery or just normal, like, scrapes. This woman
got her titties removed.
Yeah, she got liposuction, all of the fucking above to make sure that she looked like more of a child.
That's paying for this. Who is paying for this?
The paedophiles.
Oh my god.
It has to be, right? There's no one else who can pay for it.
It has to be pedo money.
Yeah.
But did she get the surgery before they went to the cottage and all the bad shit was happening?
I presume she'd gotten it like way back before she ever met Clara, would be my guess.
Oh, she would have had to, yeah. Because and then Clara probably thought like those scars were from the sex trafficking that she was never sold into.
Exactly.
Fucking hell.
Anyways, this was all ran through in the court, blah, 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 and they were sentenced. So on the 24th of October, 2008, Katharina was given 10 years. Clara was given 9. Hannah and Jan Skirla were given 7. And Jan Turek and Barbara were given 5.
Why the fuck didn't they just make it 6? Sorry, it went 10, 9, 8, 7. And then they skipped to 5.
5.
It's thought that Joseph Skirla, so Barbara's father, was the mastermind behind it all. The man who like led the cult, etc, etc. He has not been seen since he spoke up for Barbara in Copenhagen that time. And I mean, 2008, they're out with 3 years. Barbara is out since, 2013. Katharina's out since 2018. Barbara was only given 5, I think is fucking scandalous. So she should have gotten more than Clara, in my opinion.
Yeah, she was the fucking mastermind behind this whole fucking entire thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Barbara should have gotten... Barbara and Katerina should have gotten the same amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clara should have gotten... Whatever about Clara, I'd give her 5. I'm like, if we have to... If we're only giving people between 10 and 5, I think Clara should give Clara 5.
Because she did wrong, but like, she was well and truly fucking duped. Like, she was done in...
The fact that Hannah, the woman who was like just there... Like, not just there, she obviously participated and shit, like, at the cottage, and, like, she kept Andre under her desk and stuff.
Yeah, she didn't have a vital role, as in, like, she wasn't Clara, wasn't the one who was fucking bamboozling people, wasn't the enabler to the bamboozling.
Barbara evaded capture. She fucking avoided, like, everything. She was an adult who, like, didn't report nothing. She participated in the abuse. She actually exacerbated it by lying on the boys and pretending that they said and did things that they'd never actually done. How Clara got 9 and she only got 5, I don't fucking know. I don't give a shit about the two Jans or Hannah, to be honest. It's the three main ones that you actually, you know.
Natalia Barnett, was it? The other, like, real-life orphan story that happened? Remember the parents were done for, like, child neglect because they found out she was a fully grown adult, so they just gave her an apartment. Yeah. But people thought they'd left their child in an apartment on their own. I was like... Was that Barbara? Like, immediately. Because I think that happened around the time that she would have been out of prison.
I am so fucking sorry. Her in that stupid fucking little cap that was definitely meant to be her little fucking leukemia thing. If I saw that bitch, are you looking her up? Yeah, I am. If I saw her, she does not look like a child. She does not look like a teenager. That bitch has seen shit. I can tell by the fucking bags. And wrinkles under her eyes.
Yeah, they said that that's why they think that she didn't... she used to avoid eye contact with people.
Yes, yeah, because you could see the fucking
age. There's too much in those eyes, like...
There is.
And I know, eye contact was avoided, but not with Clara and stuff, like...
Yeah, but Clara, like... Fuck. You know...
Clara, she was questioned,
her friend did question her. Her friend was like, what's the story? Like, her friend did cop that it was weird. Like, but at the same time, if someone goes, that's just, like...
Yeah, you can't really, if someone tells you... It was literally unheard of.
This is the first case of its kind. Like, it's not something you think of. You just go, that's a really old looking fucking child. What the hell? But then you're like, okay, she's been sex trafficked or she was a drug baby or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean? Like
trauma, age in the face and stuff like that.
And she's also not looking at you. You're not going to cop it. You're not going to cop it. You're going to see, like, yeah, there's something off. But that's as far as it's going to go.
I don't know. I kind of disagree, to be honest. Like, I fully get what you're saying. I do. I fully get it. But, like, whatever about making eye contact, it's just, no. Like, her facial structure, it doesn't have the structure of what? I know, like, it was technically a disability that she had where, and she's small. But, like, it doesn't have seemed to have affected her face. Like, her facial structure is that of a person that's older.
It just seems like it's a proportionally even form of fucking dwarfism. I'm still reeling from the curveball that Adam was Barbara. Like,
I know.
No, because I had it saved in my notes as
Boy Child in the Walls.
Child in the Walls, baby camera check, and that's all I had saved, so that's the only thing that I remembered of it. And then I was reading back on it when I was like, what will I do for my episode? And then I saw the whole thing, which was one being basically orphan, and I was like, holy shit, I need to do this.
Fuck yeah.
I know you'd said, like, no child abuse, but I'm like, it was, I feel like it's mental enough that, like, it's not just about the child abuse. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
There was enough twists and turns in this to make me kind of forget that the child abuse happened. I don't mean to do that. Like, I have to remind myself.
Lizzie, your fucking t-shirt is hilarious.
What's it say?
Ominous music playing in brackets. Yeah. It's so perfect for this episode.
It's one of my favourite jokes. There will never be a story, honestly, as fucking scandalous as this. There won't be.
So we can't. There's no point in continuing the podcast. We've peaked. This is the
story.
Weirdest story we're ever going to cover.
I'm so shocked you've never heard of it.
I don't, because the other one that I keep going on about, fucking Italia, is the only other orphan story that I've heard. So I don't know how I missed this fucking juicy nugget.
No, I've no idea. And I've had that in my notes for ages.
A long time.
Shook.
Yeah.
Also, this is not when you sent me the screenshot of your, like, potential fucking ideas or whatever.
Mm.
Like, baby and wall thing. Not at all what I thought this was going.
Yeah.
Like, I fair thought it was just the whole thing of, like...
That's why I didn't want you to look it up, because I was like, if you get any spoilers at all, it'll ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not very hosty this week now after that, to be quite honest, guys. So
it's like, wait,
I just
want
to ask for...
There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. Like, mentally, it's just...
I've already been reeling for the past 2 hours. So I can't go any further into questioning things, bar my own life. So I'm just going to ask you, have you any nice news for the week?
No.
And...
No.
Very quickly, okay.
I mean, I appreciate the optimism every week, like, but...
Well, look, listen, if we don't have... it's week to week, so we can't have great weeks every fucking week, you know? You know, don't adopt any children without a fucking birth cert, and... Mm-hmm. And always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our club.